Conde with Philip Ellis. He's president-elect of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I guess to interpret that, that means that into this meeting, you'll be president of the organization. Is that correct, Philip?
It's at the end of this meeting, Bob hands the horse over to me, and I climb on and ride.
let's talk a little bit about your operation there in Wyoming.
Yes, we're a commercial cow-calf operation, really a cow-yearling operation, Ron. We calve several hundred mother cows. We wean the calves, carry them over to the next summer for our good summer grass we have in our country, and sell long yearlings.
When we think about some of the things that you're going to kind of inherit as you come out of this particular meeting here in San Antonio, there's a lot of issues that are going to be dealt with in 2015. What do you have special interest in? What's kind of top of mind for you of these things that need to be done on behalf of the cattle producers?
Well, two things are top of mind just because our team in D.C. are really engaged right now, and that is the EPA WOTUS rule, Waters of the U.S. That rule is still there. We still need to get that withdrawn by EPA before it's it becomes an obstacle to our producers. The interpretive rule was stopped in recent legislation, and they withdrew that, but that's not the main rule, and we want producers to understand we're still working hard to remove that rule. And then the dietary guidelines are in play right now and will come out in 2015. So those are two top-of-mind issues for me that we are working on in D.C.
You obviously mentioned Waters of the U.S., Ms. McCartney appearing before Congress this week while we've been here in San Antonio. She indicated, everything that she seemed to be saying was, we're going to fix it, we're going to do better, but we're not going to withdraw it. Does not sound like she's willing to stand down at all.
No, and it's a regulatory hurdle or obstacle, as I refer to them, that are obstacle in the way of our success as families, really treating the land and our ranches and farms right.
Let's talk a little bit about the dietary guidelines. Seems like that was something that kind of almost popped up on us this last fall with some of the meetings of the folks that were trying to put these recommendations together. And for whether it's a conspiracy or it's just a honest mistake or whatever, beef is left out. And why is that important in your mind?
Well, it's important because these are utilized in really basically school lunch programs, the real key thing, and I know a lot of our producers are aware of that. And there are other things that dietary guidelines go to influence the diet decisions of our consumers. And it's kind of a surprise, but I appreciate our team in D.C. because they've been aware that the science panel that reviews this might be leaning this direction to actually say reduce the amount of lean beef in your diet. And this just not healthy for our American families, and as our families are on farms and ranches, we're looking out for the protein needs of all our families in the U.S., so not a good thing, but we're still engaged. That process is going along, but it still moves throughout the year, and we'll hopefully have other opportunities to engage and put in input.
One other area that I know that your folks in Washington are working hard on, and we're hearing a lot of conversation, almost strange bedfellows with President Obama and the Republican members of Congress's Trade Promotion Authority. This is something that the cattle industry seems to be wanting pretty badly.
Yes, we really do want trade. Trade is the future. We take good care of our domestic market, but for my kids and my grandkids and to keep our multi-generational ranch going forward, we need trade. We need access to the global protein market. We have the best protein. I think the people around the globe deserve it. And so we are on a track there, both looking for Trade Promotion Authority and on the trade issues. I'm excited that maybe we can work with this administration and get those advantages to our trade in enhanced this year.
When you think about, the next generation. You've mentioned the multi-generational status of your operation. Are the census reports are, we're at least at 58, and a lot of states are at 60 years of age when you start talking about farmer-rancher operators. We've got a real need for a good turnover, a successful turnover to the next generation, don't we?
We certainly do, and I think that's one thing exciting in the cattle business, in the beef cattle business on the ranches and farms, that the opportunity is there with the good markets we have, and perhaps that we'll continue to keep these good markets, that we will have young people involved in the operations. Certainly glad to have a nephew who's interested in taking over our operation. I have six grandsons and grandnephews, anxious, I think, to be on the ground and taking part in our operation. But I also meet along my travels a lot of other people interested in agriculture and interested in beef cattle and are not from generational ranches and want to get involved. Maybe the opportunity's there for them to do that now. Hope so.
One other area that industry's been working on for quite a while, beef checkoff. You've had the working group that NCBA's been a part of. What do you want to see accomplished regarding this MOU and, you know, trying to get more resources for the checkoff?
What we need to accomplish is, first of all, get more resources for the checkoff. We need to resource our beef promotion and research appropriately, and that's been difficult with the dollar ahead and with the declining cow herd. That said, we've run a very successful program in the 1985 Act, so we need to enhance that act. The MOU has been something the organizations involved have been working on for now over 3 years, and I do think it is a way forward as we move through this process, and it's a long, arduous process, but a process to enhance and resource our program and maintain our popular program that beef producers like.
Does it concern you at all that if the groups are successful and go to Congress, are able for them to look at reopening the act, that does leave that act open to, you know, a lot of amendments, maybe not just the ones that this working group wants?
Yes, it, I'll be honest, it does concern me. I think it concerns anybody that's realistic about this, but move that resource up, it's going to have to be done legislatively, and so we will have to just work together. If we can keep everybody working together, keep the groups that have worked on this coalition together moving forward, I think we can communicate that to Congress and to the legislators, and as we move forward, hopefully mitigate that concern. But I will be honest, I am concerned about that, and so we move forward carefully and diligently.